Well, good morning, church. I'm so glad you're here joining with us in worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us pray as we get ready to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. Lord, we come to you this morning, some of us loving you in a personal relationship, some of us seeking. Some of us possibly denying who you are. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit of God would unleash throughout this auditorium. For the child of God, I pray that you remind us of the great truth that is found in Romans 12. That in light of your great mercies, the gospel of incredible, amazing grace, that we would not be conformed to this world, but that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so, Lord, I ask in great faith that you would teach us, move us to a place of constant gospel transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning we'll be in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to finish off the great Sermon on the Mount. As a way of getting us ready for what this passage is going to teach us, I share a little story with you. A few years back, my wife and I had the opportunity, the privilege of building a new home, and there were several reasons why that came into play, and one of the main reasons was our youngest son, Eli, has disabilities, and he's unable to, he is very much capable of climbing stairs, but that day may come where he may not be able to do that as much. And so God laid it on our heart to find a one-story house in Charleston with a little bit of a lot, which is very challenging. And with the prayer that God would continue to put on our heart, that of adoption, which that is there, and to give you an idea of where we're at right now, we are hoping that this week we're supposed to be prayerfully getting some files, hopefully, and we're praying that little Eden Grace's face will be on one of those files. And she will be here, Lord willing, in the next several months. So just continue to pray for us. We pray that we will enjoy the process and not get impatient because of the process. But we sought a location for our home, and so we drove literally, we probably seemingly looked like we were stalking Carolina Bay because we drove through that neighborhood for like 2.5-3 years. But it never just felt right. But God opened up some doors, and we found a house that we currently live in now that we started the building process. And if you've ever had the opportunity to build, it's quite a process. You go, and first you got to figure out what can you afford, what's good stewardship, what's good management financially, and then you set that goal, that price line, and then you look for the lot, then you find the design of the house that works for you, and then you have to go to their design center, and it's like a half a day. And I highly recommend that if you are more prone to live in the flesh when you're hungry, bring something to eat, because it is a long process. So you're gathering details on what your house may look like. You're trying to visualize it. You're also trying to figure out what it's going to cost you. When you do all that work, you sign some paperwork, and then the building process starts. And it takes not too long, actually. They get them going really, really fast. And as you think about all the things that you want the house to look like and function like, you begin to realize that the most important part of that home is not necessarily what you see, it's in the foundation that is laid. If the foundation is wrong, it doesn't matter how great it looks, sooner or later the house is going to be affected by the foundation that it's laid upon. You know, that's not only true when you go into a building process, it's really true in the building of our lives. If the foundation of our lives isn't on the right solid foundation. It doesn't matter what our life looks like. It doesn't matter what the accomplishments look like. In the end, the results will be disastrous. And so this morning, I want us to look at that concept of the importance of building our lives on the right foundation. And if you look at Jesus' words in Matthew 7, 24 through 29, this is what he says. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. Four times in this passage, Jesus refers to this building of a house, and that illustration of the house literally is the building of one's life. And so as we unpack this passage, I want us to see three incredible truths based on Jesus' point that whatever it is that you're building your life on, if it's not right, the results will be, not can be, will be, in the end, disastrous. And so what are the three truths that we find in this particular passage today? Truth number one, everyone is building his or her life on a foundation. Everyone. Everybody is building on something. For you, your foundation may be that of despair, or blind optimism, or entitlement, or self-reliance, or tradition, or rules, or materialism, power. Maybe it's some type of relationship. Whatever it is, every single one of us, young, old, Christian, non-Christian, you're building your life on some type of foundation. And Jesus here distinguishes between two types of builders. The first builder that he mentions is one that is wise, the wise person, the wise builder. And he says in verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Jesus refers here to a wise builder. Notice that the builder isn't wise because of his intellectual achievement, by the degrees that he has, by the knowledge that he has. Jesus says that this builder is wise because of three things. He hears the word, he obeys the word, and he builds his life on the rock, Jesus Christ. That's who the rock symbolizes in this particular passage. The word wise here means discerning. The wise person understands how to hear God's word, how to apply God's word to their life, and intentionally, it is an intentional process for us as believers in Jesus Christ to intentionally, day after day, moment after moment, continue to build our lives on that very foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ. The builder is wise because he not only lives for today, but he prepares for the future. He knows that there is a future on the horizon, and what's going to sustain his or her life is the foundation that they root their life in. That is the wise builder, the wise person. And then Jesus talks about the foolish person, the foolish builder. Jesus says in verse 26, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." That Greek word here for foolish is the word that we get our English phrase, English word, moron. I know you're not supposed to say that in the church, but that's what Jesus is saying here. In the Greek, the word that is used there is where we get our English word, moron. And Jesus says, if you let my words go in one ear and out the other, with no action steps, with no response towards me, you are foolish. You're living your life as a moron. Understand that Jesus' audience clearly understood this illustration. They knew that streams would form in their land during wintertime and springtime, but come May, when it gets hot, those streams would begin to dry up, and what would be left is this sandy sediment that seemed to be very hard on the surface. But in the end, they were still in a flood area. So the next year, when the streams came, whatever was built on that seemingly hard, sandy sediment would be washed away. And so here is a guy choosing to build his house in an area subject to flooding. If you live in a flood zone in Charleston, which many of us do, you're more than likely going to have flood insurance because that 100-year flood may come at some point. Well, it doesn't matter how much insurance you purchase. If you build your house on the sand, it's not going to be sufficient for you. He builds his house intentionally and choosingly on the sand. The foolish builder hears the same word. Think about it. Here's the same message. Here's the same Sermon on the Mount. This was one sermon that Jesus preached all the way through. He may have added some words in there. Maybe. But the gist of what he's saying, listen, you're hearing the same thing. The crowd is on the mountain, on the mountainside, hearing the words of Jesus, and they're all hearing the same message. But the foolish builder hears the word of Jesus, but does nothing with it. He chooses not to obey it. He builds his life on shifting sand. I mean, think about what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying the foolish builder has received the instructions from the master builder himself. And the master builder says, make sure. It's imperative that you choose the right foundation that your life is going to be founded on. And the foolish builder says, I'll make my own choice. I'll do it my way. The sand represents, possibly, man's own philosophy. Man's attempt to make their life happen in their own way. To make their life somehow add up to something, to mean something. Maybe it's the desire for approval or affection or love or achievement or power or possessions. Whatever it is, Jesus says, if it's not me, the rock, you're building on the wrong foundation. You see, the sand may be fun to play in, but it is never a good idea to build your life on. That's what Jesus is saying. The foolish man works hard, don't get me wrong. Works very hard, but the problem is in his foundation. We see four similarities between the foolish builder and the wise builder. They both heard the message. They both built homes. It implies that their homes were in similar location and also implies that they looked similar on the outside, but the difference is in the foundation and the obeying the word of God. He is foolish because he goes to all that trouble, years and years and years, building his life on something that is not on the right foundation. The foolish builder does what is right in his own eyes. And Jesus says, you can either build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ or you can build your life in your own strength. Your own understanding. Why is it important to understand the difference between if you are a foolish builder or a wise builder? And that leads us to the second truth here. Second truth is this: every foundation will be tested. It will be tested. Everybody builds on a foundation, and every foundation will be tested. But the results, depending on the foundation that you chose to build your life on, will have totally different results in the end. You see, for the wise builder, we see in verse 25 in Matthew 7 that the rain fell, that the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. It did not fall. It survived the storm. And then you see the foolish builder, and the scripture says in verse 27, that the same rain fell, the same floods came, the same winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus says it doesn't matter what foundation you choose to build your life on, you will face tests, you will face trials in this life. Don't misunderstand me. Both the non-Christian and the Christian will face the same types of storms. The scripture makes it clear. Same rain, same flood, same winds. But the only one that survived in the end was the one that was built on the right foundation. You see, the storm teaches us that the storms of life are inevitable, inescapable, unavoidable. The storms test the very foundation that that house, that life, is actually built on. Think about how we are tested in our life. Really, two tests. The secondary application is going to be first, and that is this. We will experience the test from trials of life. The trials of life. For the true follower of Jesus, obedience to Jesus, faith in Jesus, doesn't mean you won't get rained on. You will still be rained on in this life. Living in the sunshine doesn't tell you how much about the foundation that you're built on. That's not what proves the foundation that your life is built on. It's the storms of life that reveal the strength of the foundation, the very foundation that you've prioritized your life, built your life on. Storms are coming. And for you parents, understand, storms are coming for your children as well. Are you preparing them to face the storms that will come into their life? Are you discipling them in such a way, pouring in them in such a way that they understand the difference between building a life on the rock and building their life on sinking, shifting sand? You see, you will experience the same rain, the same floods, the same winds. But depending on what you do with Jesus, the foundation will determine what results will be. You see, the test of life may look like the temptations that we face. That's a great test there. The temptations that we face, the tragedy that we endure. Maybe it's cancer, maybe a job loss, divorce, all kinds of hurts, all kinds of grief, sorrow, betrayal, pain. People will disappoint you. People will hurt you, and you will even disappoint yourself. It doesn't matter who you are. You will experience the tests in this life. You see, some of you are in the middle of stormy seas right at this moment. And the one place you don't want to be is in the middle of that storm with a captain that doesn't know what to do. Praise God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a captain that knows what to do. Jesus, our great captain, knows exactly what needs to be done, exactly when it needs to be done. You see, sometimes the storms in life are simply there to drive us closer to Himself, deeper into the foundation, the rock. And so the encouragement in this passage for us as believers is hold fast to the rock. Hold fast to the foundation. Through the trials of life, every foundation will be tested. You know, I don't understand. I don't grasp how people that don't believe in Jesus get through the trials and tragedies in life. I don't understand. It is so much more peaceful and joyful on this side of the cross, knowing what Jesus has done for me, to experience and walk through the tragedies of losing a child, losing jobs, going through everything that we went through with our son Eli. There is something in this life as a Christian that no matter what you experience, if your life is rooted on the rock of Jesus Christ, there are some things that can never, ever be taken away from you. Praise God for His grace and His mercy. But the most significant test that is mentioned in this particular passage is not the trials of life. It's the test of final judgment. Final judgment. Hebrews 9 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, there's judgment. And this isn't new in the Sermon on the Mount. We just looked at this last week in the previous section. Jesus says, the wise builder in verse 25, that it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And in this life, we can either stand on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, or we can stand on our own good deeds. And if you choose to put your life in your own good deeds, at final judgment, it will fail every single time. But if you put your life on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, on that day of judgment, your life would be upheld because of him. Jude 24 says this, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. The Christian rests peacefully upon Jesus. Troubles will come one after another, but they do not sweep you away. And even the flood of death cannot rob the Christian of peace and security in Jesus Christ. But for the foolish man, Jesus says in verse 27, that their life, that it fell, and great was the fall of it. Great in its destruction. When you are committing your life to building on your own righteousness, your own good deeds, your own achievements, your own philosophy, your own understanding of what life is to you, in the end, it will always fail. It will always crumble. The foolish builder never considered the future. And the only way your life stands in the future is if Jesus Christ is the rock of your foundation. Jesus says, be a wise home builder. Why? Because a storm is coming. There is future judgment that is coming, and it is coming for everyone. And he says, are you ready? Will you be standing? Jesus says, listen, you need to be ready now. You need to understand the ramifications of the future today, right now. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Let me be the foundation of your life. But some here today don't believe that Jesus is who he said he was. They believe in their own wisdom. Proverbs says in chapter 14, there is a way that seems right to man, but in its end is a way to death. If you choose to reject Jesus Christ today, and on that day of judgment, you will spend eternity separated from him. Everything that you know about Jesus, his grace, his mercy, his love, everything, in a place called hell. That's what the scripture's saying. The scripture's saying, who's the foolish one in this picture? Don't be foolish. Be a wise builder today. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. And we get to the third truth this morning, and the third truth is this. Jesus is the only solid foundation for all of life. He is the only solid foundation for all of life. Jesus leaves us with only two possible options. We can either put our faith in him, the solid rock, or we can continue to live this life in faith in ourselves, the sinking sand. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is it in your life right now do you think you need to make it better? There's a statement on the back of your bulletin. I'm going to give you 20 seconds to put whatever it is on that blank for you. And don't say, I think I need lunch to be better. Let's get a little deeper here. Be honest with the Lord. What is it that you think right now that you think you need to make your life better? 20 seconds. I don't know what you wrote on that blank. And to be honest with you, you probably didn't have to write anything on that. Jesus knows what it is. You know what it is. If you place your security in something that can be taken away, you're living on a false edge of security. Jesus is the only solid foundation for your life. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3. Listen to what he says. He says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's saying this, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, if there has been redemption, if there has been gospel transformation, the foundation, the rock is there. And Paul says, that's great, that's important, but it's just as important to continue to build your life on that same foundation. Paul understands that there is a tension, there is a temptation to have this idea that I'm going to come to Jesus in saving faith, but then I'm going to build my life however I seem fit. And Paul says, no. If it can be taken away, it's not the right foundation. And Paul says it is important to continue to build your life with the right foundation in mind. What good is it to build a great foundation and then to build everything else on top of the ground, the structure of the house, the inside of the house, the cooling and heating of the house, and that great tile shower and that great sound system, whatever it is that you have in your own home, and yet the structure of the house is not anchored into the foundation? It makes no sense. And that's what Jesus is saying here. That the life that you are choosing to build, make sure it's constantly anchored into the right foundation. And that leads us to this question. How do I build my life on the right foundation? How do I continue to do that in faith as a Jesus follower? To build my life on the right foundation. There's a parallel passage to Matthew 7. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 6. And this is what the scripture says in verse 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. In verse 48, we're going to get a little deeper picture there. But think about what verse 47 is saying. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. He's referring to that building a life on the right foundation. And here's kind of the application points. If you want to build your life on the right foundation, the first thing is come. Come to Jesus Christ. Surrender your life in faith to Jesus Christ. Listen, if you get the first step wrong in the process, everything else is going to be wrong. The whole point of the Sermon on the Mount is to drive us to our need and desperation for Jesus Christ. It's no wonder why the Gospel of Matthew records for us, come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. The foundation of your life is Jesus Christ. Come in faith to Him. And then he says here, hear the words of Jesus. Get away from all the distractions that we find in this life. A life that is built on Him must be dependent on the very Word of God. Here is what the Word of God does. It causes us to wrestle with the depths of our sin. It confronts us face to face with the law of God. It moves us to the necessity of Jesus' death and resurrection, and it shows us that the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave is the same power that gives me victory over sin and death today. That's what the Word of God teaches us. It's more than just an hour here on Sunday morning, so much more. You see, the world has a constant message for you, a message that is found in music, entertainment, media, the economic system, the educational system, the very value systems of this world. The influence of the world is constant. And that influence wants absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Get away from all the distractions. A life that is built on Him must be built and must be dependent on the very Word of God. If the world has greater opportunity to influence your life than the Word of God, you're not building on the right foundation. How do you build your life on the right foundation? Come to Jesus, hear the words of Jesus, and then He says, obey. Obey. Obey the words of Jesus. You know, it's hard enough to hear from God sometimes. It's hard enough to get away from all the distractions. Now I got to obey it. I mean, really, Jesus? You're going to expect me to obey what your word says? I mean, is it really relevant today? Everybody else says it's not. Listen, it's the only thing that stopped the foolish man from building on the rock. There was no obedience. He heard the same message, but he never applied it to his life. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." I wonder how many people believe they're building on the right foundation because they heard the gospel message but never put it into practice. Jesus says, "Don't deceive yourself. Practice the principles of God. And don't be discouraged." You see, your ability to obey is found on the rock of Jesus Christ. And Jesus has not left us to our own means, our own willpower, our own understanding. Jesus has graciously and generously given us the person of the Holy Spirit who goes before us, who gives us new desires, who gives us the power to fulfill those new desires. The idea here is practice. Movement in the right direction. Obedience long-term in the same direction. Practice applying God's truth into your life each and every day. Let me ask you this. Where have you seen the faithfulness of God at work in your obedience? Sometimes we don't see God work because we're not obeying Him. But think about those moments where you have, in faith, obeyed what God's word has said in a particular situation. And you have seen clearly the faithfulness of God. Obedience and faith reaffirms the foundation in your life. If you choose to walk down the path of rebellion, sin, and do the things that are contrary to the Bible, don't be surprised if you come to a place where you begin to doubt the power of the Word of God and even the existence of God Himself. We all have the remaining effects of the sin nature. And so if you choose to live your life day in and day out, apart from hearing the word of God and obeying the word of God, and choose to live your life in direct opposition to that, don't be shocked if you get to the end of that day and say to yourself, you know, I really don't believe God's word. You know what? Matter of fact, I don't even believe God exists. That leads us to the next application here. If you want to build your life on the right foundation, dig deep. Dig deep. You see, the storms are coming, church. Dig deep. Luke 7:48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. The wise man dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The lifestyle of obedience that Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount is hard work. So hard that it is impossible for you to do on your own. And Jesus' words say, dig deep. Hold fast to me. Root your life in me. Rely on the person and the power of the Holy Spirit to continually, without hesitation, dig deep into that right foundation. Root yourself in Him. The statement that was given earlier, if I had blank, then my life will be better. If that blank wasn't Jesus or something to do with Jesus, would you be willing to, in faith, surrender that to Jesus and ask him to replace it with something far, far greater. That's the issue of Romans 12, to not be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the world system wants to take God out of everything and think something else should be in that blank. And Paul says, based on the mercies and the gospel of Jesus Christ, in saving faith, in redeeming faith, in lifestyle faith, ask the Lord to replace whatever that conforming quality is in your mind with the transforming, renewing of the mind with gospel truth. Then we get to Matthew 7, 28 through 29, the way Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. This is what he says. And when Jesus finished these sayings, talking about that sermon, that great sermon that he shared with those on the mountainside, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. You see, Jesus blew their minds that day. That's what it means by astonished. They left in utter amazement. They talked about it on their way home, and they continued to discuss it at the dinner table that night. They recognized the power in Jesus' voice. Jesus taught with authority, not as the scribes. The scribes often would only quote other religious writings, other religious leaders, but not Jesus. Jesus spoke the very word of God. You know, the sad thing is that many in the crowd that day were utterly amazed. Their minds were blown away, but yet they never trusted Jesus as their Savior. They were merely impressed. Don't stop at being just impressed with Jesus' words. Amazement is not enough. Don't be a fool and reject the claims and the person of Jesus Christ. If you do, your life will ultimately fall. So I ask you this morning. On what foundation are you building your life? Everyone has a choice to make this morning. You can either believe the claims of Jesus or you can believe the claims of man. Here's the reality. What you believe will impact how you live, and how you live will impact what you believe. I'll say that again. What you believe will impact how you live, and how you choose to live will impact what you believe. Don't just be astonished. Don't just be amazed. In faith, in saving faith, obey what Jesus says. Is telling you today. These truths apply to all people. Jesus said, everyone. And not only do they apply to all people, they apply for all time, now and for eternity. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up as we begin to close our message today. If you're here this morning and you haven't honestly, genuinely placed your faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus says, you're building your life on the wrong foundation. Maybe this morning, by the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is convicting you of your sin. And he's saying, listen, I love you. I died for you. Come follow me. Hear my words. Obey what I'm telling you. Dig deep in me, and I will give you the life that you've always dreamed of. A life that matters, a life that has substance, a life that has purpose, and at the end, on Judgment Day, a life that will sustain. Maybe you're here this morning, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You have the right foundation, but for whatever the reasons are, the storms of life, the things that are coming at us, you're discouraged. You're exhausted. You know the truths. You're trying to build on those same truths. But it's so chaotic, it's so discouraging that you're like the man who said, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. I want to encourage you with the Psalms. Psalm 62 says, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone or He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So as we stand and sing to Jesus, be encouraged by the words that are found in the Bible. The altar will be open for you to respond in faith to Him. Whatever it is that you carried in here today, simply ask Jesus to lighten the load. Realign me back to the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Let us stand and sing.